He says that if a devotee accidentally commits some sin, there's no necessity for them to do prayaschitta, because they're taking shelter of the holy name. There's a very nice example of this given in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the story of Subhuti Roy. You may know about Subhuti Roy. Subhuti Roy was a wealthy landowner in Vaishnava, and he had one Muslim who was working for him. And all that Muslim was working for him, they had a very close relationship. Subhuti Roy was like his father. But on one occasion, Subhuti Roy beat him because he did some nonsense. And there was a scar on his back. Later on, that Muslim became the Nawab. And one day, his wife saw this mark on his back, this scar. And she said, "Oh my dear husband, how did this come about?" And he said, "Oh, previously, Subhuti Roy did this to me." The husband could tell it, the wife couldn't tell it. She became very, very angry. And she said, "You have to kill him." And he said, no, how can I kill him? He's like my father. I have great affection for him." No, this is very bad. He's done some offense. We're just telling a story about Subhuti Roy. So his wife insisted, "You have to do something." So he didn't want to kill him. So finally what he did is he took some water that had some meat in it, and he sprinkled that water on Subhuti Roy. And in Vedic culture, in the culture at that time, that's considered very, very bad. If that thing happened to you, you're considered that you lost your caste. And Subhuti Roy was a high-class Brahmin. So Subhuti Roy, he took it as an opportunity. And he left his family and his business, and he went to Varanasi. And then it described that there in Varanasi, he approached the pundits there. Prayaschitta puchila Tenu pandite lagane Anrakahe tapta grita Kanachada prane. They told him, "The only prayaschitta that you can do from this thing, you look in the shastras, and the only thing that you can do is you have to drink hot ghee and give up your body and die." So Subhuti Roy, he consulted some other Brahmins, and they told him that actually what you did wasn't so bad, and you shouldn't drink hot ghee. But sometimes different pundits will say different things. Once we heard in Orissa, there was one pundit, local pundit in the village. And some of the villagers came to him one day and they said, "Oh Maharaj, one of the villagers did a very bad thing. He killed a monkey. And we want to know what is the prayaschitta for killing a monkey." And when that pundit heard that, he said, "Oh, killing a monkey is a very, very bad thing. A very, very serious thing. A monkey is almost like a human being." So he has to do Chandrayana Vrata. Chandrayana Vrata, sometimes people do that during the monkey partik. The first day, partik, they only take one spoonful of food. And the next day, two spoonfuls, and three, and four, and they go to the Purnima and they fast. And the next day, they take one spoonful, the next day, two, and three, and four. They do like that. It's very, very difficult thing. So he was telling like that. He has to do Chandrayana Vrata. "And who is this person anyway?" And then they told him, "It's your son." And then the father said, "Well, actually, it's not such a terrible thing. It says in this other place over here that if you kill the monkey, you can just do some charity and do a few things and it's okay." So Subhuti Roy, his situation was like that. We can become confused. We go to so many different persons. They have so many different opinions. But finally, Subhuti Roy, he went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he asked Mahaprabhu, "Nama Sankirtana." Mahaprabhu told him, go to Vrindavan and chant the holy name.
Vrindavanamavase toma papa dosha jabe
Namabhasa. You just chant Namabhasa one time. And just simply by that Namabhasa, all your sinful reactions will go away. And after you chant perfectly, then what will happen? Huh? You'll attain shelter of the lotus feet, Krishna.
Pada Krishna Namavante Krishna Sane Siti Mahapata Kirahoya
when you're situated at the lotus feet of Krishna, you're chanting the holy name, you're situated at the lotus feet of Krishna. He said, no sinful reaction can come to you. Krishna, Surya, Samoha, Maya, Andhukar. Krishna is like the sun. When you're with Krishna, there's no darkness. You're actually chanting the holy name properly. There's no problem. He said, this is the best prayaschitta for even the greatest sin. So it's not necessary for devotees to do prayaschitta. But we follow these things because this Vachavega, Manasa, Krodavega, Jivavega, Vedota, Pasavega, these things are a gateway to bhakti. It's not the place of bhakti, but it's a gateway through which we can pass. A gateway is neither outside nor inside. Outside is dark, and inside is a nice light going, in the night. So outside, that doorway is neither inside nor outside. But it's a way that you can leave that place of darkness and come inside to the light. So this Vachavega, Manasa, Krodavega is like that. In his Piyusa Varshani Vritti, Thakur Bhakti Vinod, he quotes Padma Purana.
Sokamasharidirvarayakandam yashamanasam katandhatra mukundasya spurti sambhavanabhavit.
He said, how can Sri Mukunda ever be manifested to a person whose heart is invaded by lamentation, anger, and other agitations? Because when we do these activities, we don't control our senses. Our mind can't be peaceful. How will you think of Krishna? How will Krishna enter into your heart when your heart is so much disturbed by so many different things? There's a nice example given that sometimes some person may be living beside the Jamuna River in Delhi. But there's so much noise all day long. Buses and taxis and auto rickshaws and dogs and people shouting and making noise. You can't hear anything. But at night, when all the buses and trucks and cars and everything else will stop the noise, then you can hear the sweet sound of Jamuna River. So in the same way, we can't hear the voice of our soul and what to speak of seeing Krishna entering into our heart, because there's so much noise in our heart. There's so many trucks blasting this thing and that thing. Buy this, drink this, have some more of this, watch this show, come to this movie. So Rupa Goswami, he's giving us this advice. Because this is the best advice. How we can get Krishna in our heart. So the first thing is that we give up these activities. Vachavega, Manasa, Krodavega, Jivavega, Pasavega. We try to control these urges, these disturbances. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he comments on this verse. He says, E shlokara tatkara je jana jai je kama kroda lova moha mada omat suryata e sakkala upata manavera mani sarvada udita hoya. The purport of this verse is, he says, that lust, anger, greed, illusion, intoxication, envy always arise in the mind and thus attract the mind toward material sense objects. This is done through six agencies.
Vakira Vega Artat Bhutod Vaga Khan Vachana Prayoga Dwara.
The first thing is the urge to speak.
This Vakira Vega,
this desire of speech.
And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that Vacha Vegam means controlling the use of words that create distress for others. Because there's different types of speech we may use. But he says especially it means this kind of speech, which disturbs other people.
The second thing we should control, Bhaktivinoda says, it's commentary from this verse,
Manasa Vega Artat Nanavida Manurata Dwara.
Dwara here means body.
By the agitation of the mind for innumerable desires and plans,
they become fabricated in the mind.
So, if our mind is very agitated, then so many other desires and things come.
This is why it's a very nasty thing to go to the West. So many Indian devotees I know want to go to the West. Because it's a new thing. It used to be that people would go and Tirthyatra to Dwarka and Rameshwaram and Badrinath and like that. But all that's old. The new Tirtha now is you go to New York and you flex and vest. And your upper basins is there. Isn't it what did you?
22nd Avenue
weekend. That's a real thing. But unfortunately, people are going with the wrong understanding. So, and what happens when you go to those places? Your mind becomes so disturbed. So, very, very disturbed. Just the way that the people are dressed. Everyone's dressed in a very kind of way to attract your attention to the body. And everyone's speech is meant to impress you and to get you to accept them as a great person. And so everybody's disturbed and they're having their discussions. They're always quarreling because one person wants to impress the other and the other person doesn't care for him. He wants him to listen to him. And so they're just quarreling. There's no peace whatsoever.
So the third thing Bhaktivinoda says is Krodhera Vega Artat Ruda Vakyadi Payogadvara.
He says that Krodhavegam in this verse means anger or harsh words. Twice he says this thing about harsh words.
Jivara Vega Artat.
He says it Jiva Vega, controlling the tongue.
Jivara Vega Artat.
Jivara Vega means
Madhura Amla Kattu.
Anything about this here? You think that my pronunciation is okay, honey? It's okay, I understand. Very nice thing, this is what he says. He says, Jivara Vega Artat
Madhura Amla Katta Lavan Kashai Tikta Vede Sadhida Rasa Dalasa Dvara.
The greed of the tongue to enjoy so many different things. Six kinds of taste, sweet things, sour things, bitter things, salty things, astringent things, and pungent things. This is the meaning of Jiva Vega. This desire is there.
And Udarera Vega Artat.
Udara Vega means
Achanta Bhojana Prayasadvara.
And the urge of the belly, with the drive to eat more than necessary, which is one of the main things motivating Western civilization today. You know, in America, everybody's just trying to think how they can lose weight and how big a problem it is because all the youngsters, and in India also now too, all the wealthy people, their children, by the time they're 8 years old, they weigh 100 kgs, you know, whatever, big, huge thing, like, because they don't know how to control this urge of the stomach. And the sixth thing,
Upashtara Vega, Upashtara
Vega means
Sri Purusha Samyoga Lalasadvara.
The agitation of the genitals or the desire for cohabitation between men and women. These things arise. So these six things have to be
control. And this saying, Thakura Bhaktivinoda, he describes in the 9th chapter of Harinam Chintamani. He says, Ati Sigra, very quickly, Ati Sigra Tahara Anartha Durijai, Kridvaya Durbalya Arsthana Nahipa. Very soon, this anarthas will go away, and his weakness of heart won't stay. So what is this Sridvaya Durbalya? Thakura Bhaktivinoda describes that in Bhajan Rahasya. Tuccha Shakti Kutinati Matsarajam Swapatistita Hridvaya Bhalya Budaya Sasvaj Gyeyam Kiva Chaturvidam. Means Tuccha Shakti, attachment to things which are really very insignificant. Which means something like television or Bollywood movies, Hindi songs, things like that. Do you like those things? Very good. Those are tuccha shakti. So, when the heart is weak, we become attached to those things. Tuccha shakti. In kutinati, we want to do some diplomacy. We want to go and criticize other people. Matsarajam, we're envious of other people. Swapratisthita, we have some desire for personal position and self-aggrandizement. So these are the four kinds of Hridvaya Durbalya, weakness of heart. But Bhaktivinoda says that Atisigra, if you chant the holy name, then very quickly. These things are very, very insignificant. Don't think these things are very big things in comparison to the holy name, in comparison to Krishna. All these sinful activities and sinful desires, they're very tuchishak, very, very insignificant things. But if they don't go away right away, not giving us sense, it means we're doing something wrong. Srila Prabhupada spoke about it. I'd like to read you some conversation. He has safety belts, you can put them on. A very strong conversation. This is conversation on June 21st, 1976, morning walk in Toronto. One Indian devotee, he said to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, I see that a lot of devotees, they fall back down to Maya. What is the reason? Prabhupada said, he's not a devotee. He's a pretender. He's pretending to be a devotee. One who's a devotee never falls down. There's so many false devotees, he falls down. Sasrubha Maharshi said, sometimes devotees, they think that when Lord Kapiladev teaches that there's devotional service in ignorance and passion and goodness, that that may mean your disciples also, your own disciples. But then some devotees say, no, no, we're above that designation. It's not mixed devotional service, even though we're neophytes. And Prabhupada said, if you voluntarily do not follow, then you fall down. That is an ignorance. You know, Makanlapa, he was also Makanlapa said, so where that's described about devotional service and ignorance, passion, goodness, and so forth, that has nothing to do with your disciples then? And Prabhupada said, very strongly, he said, who is my disciple? Prabhupada said, first of all, let him strictly follow the disciplined rules. Makamapuru says, as long as one is following and he is all right, above those lower levels, Prabhupada said, yes. And then he says, if somebody's following instructions, but there's attraction from Maya. And Prabhupada says, that can't be. Very strong thing. We just repeated the prayer, also my chastisement. Don't become afraid, this is for my chastisement, for my purification. If we're properly following Krishna consciousness, there shouldn't be Bhaktivinoda, very quickly, there shouldn't be any attraction from Maya. Prabhupada says, Bhaktivinoda asks, if somebody's following instructions, but there's still attraction from Maya, Prabhupada says, it can't be. Maybe in the beginning, due to past habits, that must be nil soon. Otherwise, he's not following. Just like a fan switched off, may move for a little while, but not that it will go on moving. It will stop if the switch is off. And if it is going on, then it means the switch is not off. So one devotee said, sometimes a devotee is more unhappy than a materialist because he's aware of his unhappiness. Prabhupada said. And that means he's not the devotee. Devotee means the first son will be happy. Brahma Rupa Prasanna. If he's not Prasannatma, he's a rascal. He's not even entered devotional life. He's outside. That's the test. Just like Dhruva Maharaj. When he saw Vishnu, he said, everything is alright. I don't want anything. Swami Vitartho Smi. That is Vaishnava. And if he's still in want or unhappy, it means he has no spiritual life at all. He's simply making a show. Prabhupada said that. So we should read these things sometime just to chastise ourselves, right? If we're in this position. And very honestly, realistically, not to offend anyone, but most of us are in this position. What is our position? By this we can understand we're really not devotees. But it doesn't mean that we should become discouraged hearing those things or decide to give up. We'll hear more about that later on. Bhutsa and Dishchaya, Hariya. Rupa Goswami gives some words of encouragement. We should be encouraged, but we should understand our position. We should understand the first thing is Vatsa Vega Manasukrota Vega. You can never mind all this. I memorize Radhika's Stotram. Taking bath every day at Radhika's. That's very nice. But can you control your senses? But then control the senses. Don't get caught up in that, which we'll describe later. Bhaktivinoda later describes as another type of over endeavor. What's the next one? Niyamagra. Niyamagra. Not Niyamagra. There's two. There's Niyamagra. Too much emphasis on these things. And you can't respect someone who's maybe chanting the whole name. Rupa Goswami says, no, Krishna Priya Shagiri Tama Sadhguru. You should respect anyone who's chanting Krishna. We should appreciate the chanting of the whole name. This thing is so, so beautiful and important. And these senses, all these difficulties, these different urges, these are controlled very, very easily once we really begin this process. So I think personally it's very important to read these things and remember these things. And even if we're maybe not at our top point, all of you, the reason why you're here is so you can go and be preachers. That's your purpose in coming here. First thing is all of us should follow. But if we're not on this platform, it doesn't mean that we should stop preaching. So the Prabhupada gave us that, because that preaching gives us something to do. If we don't have that preaching to do, many times we get into trouble. You see the devotees who want to chant, I'll chant 64 rounds a day, or 3 laps a day, or go off to some private place. There was one devotee in 1976, I think it was, who he was diagnosed with some incurable cancer. So Srila Prabhupada gave him Babaji Vaish. He's the only devotee that Prabhupada gave Babaji Vaish to. And Prabhupada gave him permission to go and chant some large number of rounds, I don't know, 2 or 3 lakhs a day. He was going and doing that, and all the devotees were very impressed with him. Then later on, he moved to Chicago, and they gave him some special program at Kishore Temple in Chicago. He was chanting all day long like that. And then after some time, he didn't feel so bad. So he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, thing was completely cured. And so a few days later he just disappeared from the temple. And where was his program? So Srila Prabhupada, understanding what we need, has given us a program to help us. He's told us you follow these 4 regulative principles. And sometimes people, we'll speak more about this later on when we speak about Vipassana Vega, this sex desire. It was a very controversial thing. I think that I would like to speak about some little controversial things sometimes, because we're real persons, and we should speak about the world that we live in today and how this book applies to us today. I'm not going to be too controversial, we won't get in trouble. But we should speak frankly and see how this book applies to us and how we can use this book, because we need help. We want to take shelter of Rupa Goswami, but we should understand, we should meditate deeply on his instructions and see how we apply to us. So Srila Prabhupada saw that the Western people are not only are they completely submerged in sense gratification, they're going deeper and deeper and deeper in the wrong direction. So they needed some very, very powerful thing. So the first thing he told everybody was, hey, four regulated principles. Because if you stop them, then maybe you can become a human being. And then you can understand a little something about Shinobi. We were telling a story the other day from one brother disciple. He said that Prabhupada was giving a lecture on Bhagavatam at the manor in Detroit. And all the devotees in the classroom fell asleep, except for this one devotee who brought this sermon to town. And Prabhupada turned to that devotee and said, actually, this Bhagavatam class is for our advanced devotees. So we're a little bit like that, huh? We have some difficulties. But Prabhupada gave such a nice program. He followed these four regulated principles. He's learning this from Rupa Goswami. Follow these four regulated principles and have some positive engagement. But because most of us didn't have, we got to know this and have a long discussion. He's written some articles in Sajjana Toshin about Adhikar for Bhaktis. Most of us don't have Adhikar for Bhakti. Most of us have Param Adhikar and Jnana Adhikar. So he engages accordingly in a way which raises us up. He kept us busy by doing something which is actually bhakti in another sense, because it's directed devotional service to Guru. And he kept us all busy. So we do those things. We take shelter of the service of Śrīla Prabhupāda. We take shelter of the holy name. And in this way, very easily, Vācha-vega, Manasa-prodha-vega, Jīva-vega, Vāsa, these urges can be tolerated. But if we don't associate with the devotees, as Prabhupāda gives a hint in his purport reading a few minutes ago, if we go off by ourselves, and even if we may be chanting so much, very, very rare person who can do it, especially those persons who are coming from a Western, samskara, Western background, it's very, very difficult. We've seen persons who try to do this at the slaughterhouse. There's been so many of them go to Radhakuni and go here and there and try to do it. And if they would be successful, we'd be happy. But unfortunately, this went back to sense gratification. So we shouldn't do that. We should follow Prabhupada's instructions. And inherent in these instructions is another principle, the principle of hope. The principle is that these instructions are meant for us. These are meant for people who are very, very fallen. And it's not that we have to put on a show and go and try to impress you with Prabhupada to act like something that we're not. It should be simple. And we should be self-analytical. Srila Prabhupada once was asking a curious question about he said, Srila Prabhupada, how did you ever become so advanced? Hare Krishna. We accept Srila Prabhupada by all his symptoms, isn't it, to sit. But for our benefit, Prabhupada gave a very wonderful answer. He said, I was always very introspective. He's teaching us, we should be very, very introspective. And Rupa Goswami, he's teaching us this thing in the very beginning. Never mind, you can't think about Krishna yet, Radharani or Radhakuni or all these things. But can you control your senses? And if you do these things, this will help you. So I think we'll stop there. We'll get another 20 minutes. Anybody have any other comments or questions? I really like to have some discussion. Maybe I think it's really helpful. So please don't be shy. If you have any comments or ideas about things, just have a deep discussion, really. That's how we remember things. That's how we invite things. What do you say?
What I understood from your lecture, I just wanted to confirm it. And the reason why Prabhupada started the purpose of atonement is to state that by following this, controlling these six urges, you would get temporarily purified. And by practicing Krishna consciousness is the real solution. That the purpose behind Prabhupada starting the atonement.
No. It's not that by following these six things, that's our goal. It's not that we even see these things necessarily as atonement. They're not atonement. Vācha-vega, Manasa-prodha-vega is not atonement. Our atonement is chanting the holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Subhuti Raya, Lord Vrindavan, Chanare Krishna, there's no need for any prayaschitta. But we're doing these things because if we again start taking the sinful activities, and that's non-believing. It's not the same category as the materialist
who maybe tried to practice in tyaga and controlling the senses and can't do it, go back to it again. That's normal prayaschitta. But in our case, we're doing these things because these things are obstacles to bhakti. We don't, by practicing these six urges, by controlling these six urges, simply controlling these six urges in and of itself is not bhakti. But it's a gateway to bhakti. It will allow us to allow our mind to become a little clearer, allow ourselves to become a little peaceful, so that we can get some adhikar for bhakti. Adhikar for bhakti, we say sometimes that he's a Kanishtha adhikari, Madhyam adhikari, Uttam adhikari. It doesn't necessarily mean that person possesses bhakti. It means that they possess qualification for that. And therefore Bhaktivinoda says that we should aspire for Uttam adhikari. We want the most qualification for bhakti. We want to become the most ultimate because bhakti is swatantra. Bhakti is independent. It's not just that we do certain things and bhakti is automatically going to come. But bhakti comes, bhakti bhagavata. Bhakti stu bhagavata, bhakti sangena parijayate. As Prabhupada intimates in his purport, we should associate with the devotee. In the Narada Pancha, excuse me, Hari Bhakti Sudha Dvaya, describes that this bhakti comes from a devotee. Bhakti comes from a bhakta. So we have to take shelter, we have to associate with such a devotee and follow his instructions. And the first thing he'll tell us is, hey, stop doing these nonsense activities. But it's not that those nonsense activities, stopping those things, is prayaschitta. We take shelter in mind. And then all of the prayaschittas are very, very insignificant in comparison to one another. Is that okay? It's good. I want to make this really clear. It's a little bit of a subtle point. It's a little difficult sometimes to grasp. Give me a second.
Still, it's not really what is the connection between atonement in the purport and the six things which are being mentioned in the verse.
Because some people, they think that atonement means to give up sense gratification. Or maybe they do some other thing, they do Chandrayana Vrata, which is a type also of sense control. But then again, they take up sense gratification after that. So that's the materialists. And this verse is not for them. This verse is not for materialistic people who just want prayaschitta. The point is that Rupa Goswami is not giving us this verse for prayaschitta. That's not his point. The point of this verse is to help us to stop those agitations of the mind. Our mind is so disturbed by all these terrible things. We can't think of Krishna. We can't chant the holy name properly. So this is the doorway by which we can come into the room of the chanting of the holy name. If we follow these four regulated principles, if we control these six urges, then that will let us come inside. Okay? Very good. Thank you. Please don't be shy. If I haven't made something properly clear or something, just say something. Mataji? I found this in Hari Sai Prabhu's book, one of his biographies in the Sutra. It was volume 2, translated by page 466.
So this for even for the neophyte devotee, he does not need to go under atonement?
Yes, anyone. We should have this faith in the holy name. If we don't have this faith in the holy name, then we're doing another apparat. What is it? Dharma brata tyaga upadi sarva. Subhapriya samarapi pramadaha. If we think that the holy name is equal to some subha karma, some dharma, some brata, some tyaga, some, this is tyaga. If we think the holy name is, this is equivalent to the holy name, then that's an apparat. For someone who's not chanting the holy name, this is very good. Do this thing. But better you chant the holy name. And if you're taking shelter of the holy name, you don't have to worry about any of those things. Those things are very, very insignificant. They go away very, very quickly in the back of the top. So the only problem is that we're not doing it properly. We're not following because we have bad association. And that's another big subject which we'll speak about later on, which Bhaktivinoda speaks of in his commentary. What does it mean? As a Sangha chat, what does it mean to give up bad association? We should know these things. It's very important. The Sadhu Sangha is most important. But it can give some indication now. It doesn't just mean physically, but it means in our consciousness, in our heart, and our mind. Is that okay?
Actually, suppose a person is practicing devotional service and one time he breaks some regulatory principle, small regulatory principle, some rules he is not following. So he may repent, he, I shouldn't have done this, okay, but I will still practice because devotee need not follow any atonement. But then again he breaks. So, isn't it that he has to reveal his mind to some senior devotee and ask, okay, once time accidentally breaking is okay, but again and again we are breaking, so some spiritual atonement we have to take. Material atonement we may not take. Like a person, suppose like in some temples they have a person, if he comes late for Mangala, then suppose fast to Vatishtar or he has to write something. So it is a spiritual atonement to purify that person or to stop that person from breaking some rules.
When we say chant the holy name, inherent within that process is taking shelter aside of the world. Because Krishna doesn't accept the ame bhakti janapar dhanami bhakti sakura. Krishna tells that Arjuna, that person goes around telling everybody he's my devotee, right? Wearing a t-shirt, I love Krishna, I lost my heart in the bottom. Krishna said, he's bogus. He's not really my devotee. Yemi bhakti janapar dhanami bhakti sakura. My devotee. He's my real devotee. So, we're like beasts. A beast is an animal that can't control its senses, that needs some sasan, some chastisement, some direction. So we need to always put ourselves in association with senior devotees, and especially want to associate with devotees who will chastise us. Let me see. There's a very nice description of this by Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta makes the point that we want to get chastised. And I don't know, please raise your hand. How many of you look forward to chastisement?
Very good.
Most of us don't. And people see you raise your hand like that, but when someone comes and starts shouting at you, you send that. I didn't deserve that. That's not fair. We speak like that, isn't it? So Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura said it very strongly. There's no doubt that the words of the sadhus possess the power of destroying the evil propensities of one's mind. Answer your question. The sadhus in this way benefit everyone who associates with him. There are many things which we do not disclose to the sadhu. The real sadhu makes us speak out what we keep concealed in our hearts. He makes us speak frankly and reveal our heart to him. And then what does he do when we're so humble and so sincere that we reveal our heart? Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta says that he then applies the knife. The very word sadhu has no other meaning than this. He stands in front of the block with the uplifted sacrificial knife in his hand. The sensuous desires of men are like the goats. The sadhu stands there to kill those desires by the merciful stroke of the keen edge of the sacrificial knife in the form of unpleasant life. If the sadhu turns into my flatterer, he does me harm. He becomes my enemy. If he gives us flattery, then we are led to the road that brings enjoyment with no real well-being. So, if we really want to be sincere in our non-bhajan, let's describe two things we require. Sadhu sangha krishna nama e matra chai samsara jinitaya kono vastu nai. Only two things are required. Sadhu sangha and Krishna. Not just Krishna nama, no sadhu sangha. It's very difficult to associate with a sadhu. They want me to go and clean the toilet, go out and sell books all day. Very, very difficult when I'm doing that thing.
just chant Krishna nama, stay with the Dhamma. Put some pranam, pranam, respect for me, like some money. We think like that. But we should associate with sadhus. A sadhu means that person who cares about us is going to chastise us. And we should accept that. Because otherwise, like that beast, like that animal, we can't control our senses, even when we have some good intention. But if we get that sasana, that chastisement from sadhu, then all of a sudden those things are very, very insignificant. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Chaitanya Saraswati, he compares all the different demons of Braj Leela to different anarthas in the heart. He says, Adinakasur represents lust, attachment for illicit connection with women. And he says in the Vipassana Samhita, that Venukasura, who is he killed by? Balaram. Because some anarthas have to be driven out by the guru. There's some anarthas which are very, very difficult for us to drive out. So Balaram, the guru, has to be there. And he comes and he chastises. And then he takes his plow and he cuts and it hurts. It hurts in some ways. But we should be sincere. Is that okay? That's a good question.
Just a thought. I used to think that this offense of committing sinful activities in strength of the holy name, I always assumed that, oh no, most devotees wouldn't get to that, and I don't do it. But then later I realized that, even sometimes when I would eat non-prasadam, when I'm back in the city, I eat non-prasadam, later I realized I'm doing that because I feel protected by my, I dare to do it because I feel protected by my practice of Krishna consciousness. It's a subconscious, a subconscious feeling, but then I realized it's almost the same as committing offense on the spirit of Krishna.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur also extends that one too. He says that Nambari Padbhuti means also that if I do other things on the strength, I think, well, I can not just Nama Parad, but I can do other offenses on the strength of the holy name, or I can neglect other religious principles and things, which is, we'll hear later on, to Nambari. That's also an offense.
Criticism in the sense is genuine criticism or false criticism? How one should be
calibrated? Good example of that is Srivas Thakur. When Gopal Champa put the wine and the meat outside of Srivas Thakur's house, he was criticizing him. And other people also criticized. And what did Srivas Thakur do? He came out in the streets, hey, everybody come, suna sarvajana, everybody look and see what I did. And he didn't do that thing. But he was accepting like that. And why is he doing it like that? There's a word in English you may not know, I don't know. There's two types of persons, a sadist and a masochist. A sadist is someone who likes to give pain to someone else. A masochist is someone who likes to give them pain. They'll cut themselves with a knife and they'll ask somebody to punch them or something like that. So it's not that Srivas Thakur is a masochist. That he's relishing that kind of thing. He's not a sick person. He's humble. He's teaching us that if Krishna wants to chastise me, he said, then let him chastise me. I'm not going to defend myself. Why should we go and defend ourselves? Even if someone says something that's untrue, there may be certain circumstances for our service, for the benefit of our Gurudev, or the benefit of our Sangha, that we may say something, but if they're not willing to listen to us, we're not fine. You can say about what you want. We may discuss a little bit more of this later on about the reaction to criticizing others. A very interesting thing. We can speak about that tomorrow. Speak about this Vajra. This verse is so nice. When we read Srila Prabhupada's books and the Swami's books, it should come alive. It should be something practical and meaningful for us. So it's very good that we have some discussion like this and we think in different ways. How to apply this? What does this mean to me? It's not just only applied for people 500 years ago who were associated with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is for all of us. It's for Prabhupada Gita system. Okay. Anything else is that? Srila Goswami Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Sri Bhaktivedanta Goswami Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Goswami ki jai. Samaveda Bhaktivedanta ki jai.